Yes. Liesl.
Well, dear Ramsay, you are looking a little pale.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. What do you want?
To talk. I love to talk with you, and you are a man who needs talk. Neither of us is sleeping, therefore we shall talk. May I sit by you? If I were an English lady or somebody's mother, I suppose I should begin by saying, now, what is the matter? But that is just rhetoric. The matter is, you saw me with Faustina this afternoon. Oh, yes, I saw you in the looking-glass. So?
So?
Oh, you are just like a little boy, Ramsay. Or no, I'm forgetting that only silly men like to be told they're like little boys. Very well. You are like a man of 50 whose bottled-up feelings have burst their bottle and splashed glass and acid everywhere. But you have no art of dealing with such a situation as a man of 50, so you're thrown back to being like a little boy. Well, I'm sorry for you. Not very much, but some.
Don't patronize me, Liesl.
That is an English word I have never really understood.
Don't bully me, then. Don't know best. Don't be the sophisticated European, magic show gypsy, the wonderfully intuitive woman. Don't belittle the feelings of a poor brute who doesn't know any better than to think in terms of decency and honor, and not taking advantage of people who may not know what they're doing.
You mean Faustina? Oh, Ramsay, she is such a wonderful creature, but in a way you don't begin to grasp. She isn't one of your North American girls. She is of the earth, and her body is her shop and her temple, and whatever her body tells her is all of the law and the prophets.
You talk as if you thought you were God.
I beg your pardon, that is your privilege, you pseudo-cynical old pussycat, watching life from the sidelines and knowing where all the players go wrong. Life is a spectator sport to you. Now you've taken a tumble and found yourself in the middle of the fight and you're whimpering because it is rough.
Liesl, I'm too tired and sick to wrangle. But let me tell you this, and you may laugh as loud and long as you please and babble it to everybody you know, because that is your professed way of dealing with confidences. I loved Faustina.
But you don't love her now because of what you saw this afternoon. Oh, night, oh, saint. You loved her, but you never gave her a gift or paid her a compliment or asked her to eat with you or tried to give her what Faustina understands as love, a sweet convulsion shared with an interesting partner.
Liesl, I am 50 and I have a wooden leg and only part of one arm. Is that interesting for Faustina?
Yes, anything is for Faustina. You don't know her, but far worse, you don't know yourself. You're not so very bad, Ramsay.
Thank you.
Oh, what dignity. Is that the way to accept a compliment from a lady? I tell him that he's not so very bad, and he ruffles up like an old maid and makes a sour face. I must do better. You are a fascinating old fellow. How's that?
If you said what you came to say, I should like to go to bed now.
Yes, I see you've taken off your wooden leg and stood it in the corner. Well, I should like to go to bed now, too. Shall we go to bed together?
What?
Do not look as if it were out of the question. You are 50 and not all there. I am as grotesque a woman as you're likely to meet. Wouldn't it have an unusual savour?
I think you'd better leave now.
Oh, you wanted to be like Venus and Adonis.
Let go.
I am to drag you into my arms and crush out your boyish modesty. Go on.
Don't do that.
A little kiss, my Adonis.
I said don't do that.
Let go. Oh, so you want to play rough, do you?
Liesl, put down that leg.
I'll put it down right enough. I'll put it down right there.
Dare you?
Easily. You tore my pajamas.
To attack a one-legged man with his own wooden leg. That's not fighting fairly.
I don't fight fairly. I leave that to decent, masculine fools like you.
Ow! Give me that. Now.
Give it.
Now, who has the upper hand? Or leg, as the case is?
You wouldn't hit me.
Get out.
You wouldn't strike a woman.
Get out, I'm warning you.
You wouldn't dare hit me with that leg.
You're right. You don't like the leg? How about a fist? So much for masculine decency. Dear God. Dear God. Did I do that? Where did I put that flask? What do you want?
Senor! Senor, this honeymoon! Oh, very well for you, senor. But please do remember there are those below who are not so young. If you please, senor!
Lo siento, senor.
Oh, muy bien, senor. Comprendo. Es bastante.
Honeymoon, indeed. Honeymoon. ¿Quién es?
You will be so kind as to allow me to recover my key.
Of course, signora.
Thank you so much. You are much stronger than you look.
So are you. May I offer you a drink?
Thank you.
What is it?
My lip is cut.
Oh. Oh. Sit down. I'll put something on those bruises. Here you are. Hold that against your lip.
Oh.
Feel good?
Better. How is your shin?
I feel better than I've felt in a very long time.
Good. That is what I came to make you feel.
Indeed. I thought you came to seduce me. That seems to be your hobby. Anybody and anything. Do you often get beaten up?
What a fool you are. It was only a way of trying to tell you something.
Not that you love me, I hope. I believe some strange things in my time, but that would test me pretty severely.
No, I wanted to tell you that you are human like other people.
Have I denied it?
Listen, Ramsay, for the past 3 weeks you've been telling me the story of your life with great emotional detail. You make yourself responsible for other people's troubles. A poor mad woman, this big sugar man, his wife, Leola. What a name. And never admit it's damned good of you. That is not very human. You're a decent chap to everybody except one special somebody, and that is Dunstan Ramsay.
I wasn't brought up to blow a trumpet if I happen to do something for somebody.
Upbringing, so. Calvinism? I'm a Swiss Ramsay, and I know Calvinism as well as you do. It is a cruel way of life. But even Calvinism can be endured if you'll make some compromise with yourself. But you... there's a whole great piece of your life that is unlived, denied, set aside. That is why at 50 you can't bear it any longer and fly all to pieces and pour out your heart to the first really intelligent woman you've met. Me, that's to say. And get into a schoolboy yearning for a girl who was as far from you as if she lived on the moon. This is the revenge of the unlived life, Ramsay. Suddenly it makes a fool of you. You should take a look at this side of your life you have not lived. Now, don't wriggle and snuffle and try to protest. I don't mean you should have secret drunken weeks and a widow in a lacy flat who expects you every Thursday like some suburban ruffian. You're a lot more than that. But every man has a devil. And a man of unusual quality like yourself, Ramsay, has an unusual devil. You must get to know your personal devil. Why don't you just for once do something inexplicable, irrational, at the devil's bidding, and just for the hell of it? Here you are, nearer your death than your birth, and you still have to make a real life. Who are you? Where do you fit into poetry and myth? Do you know who I think you are, Ramsay?
Who?
I think you're Fifth Business.
I don't know what that is.
Well... in opera, you must have a prima donna, always the heroine, and a tenor, who always plays the lover to her, and then you must have a contralto, who is a rival to the soprano, and a basso, who is the villain. So far, so good. But you cannot make a plot work without another man, usually a baritone, and he is called in the profession Fifth Business. You must have Fifth Business, because he is the one who knows the secret of the hero's birth, or comes to the assistance of the heroine when she thinks all is lost. Or may even be the cause of somebody's death, if that's part of the plot. The prima donna and the tenor, the contralto and the basso get all the best music and do all the spectacular things, but you cannot manage the plot without Fifth Business. Are you Fifth Business? You had better find out.
Liesl,
Yes?
You talk too much.
Oh, but you see, I always get what I come for.
Yes? Who is it?
Una parcela, señor.
Un momento. Para mí?
Sí, señor. Número 103. Mira.
Sí, sí. Gracias.
Gracias.
What is it?
It's a bunch of flowers and a note. Forgive my ill manners of last night. Love conquers all, and youth must be served. May you know 100 years of happy nights. Your neighbor in the chamber below.
I didn't ask to be born. I owe the woman nothing. In fact, I was driven from home by her reputation.
Then look at it this way. If it weren't for that, you would never have become the great Isengrim. You'd probably be a Baptist minister in rural Ontario.
That's a ridiculous argument, not to say insulting.
Nevertheless, Ramsay's point is a good one. I suggest that you sign a banker's order for a sum to be paid monthly to Ramsay's account.
But it's not fair, Liesl. I owe the woman nothing.
Oh, fair. Where's your sense of irony? It seems to me to be highly appropriate that the royalties from your fictional autobiography should help to maintain your real-life mother.
Mrs. Dempster, I have a surprise for you.
A surprise?
Yes. Good news.
Oh?
I've seen Paul.
Paul?
Yes.
Where is he? Is he here?
I saw him in Mexico.
Is he hurt? Is he all right?
He's fine. He's just fine.
Why didn't you bring him?
He couldn't come just now. He has a very demanding career, you see. He travels a great deal.
Take me to him, Danny. I want to see him.
Well, that's not possible just now. But he sends his love.
Oh!
And he...
Oh,
yes,
my
and he says
baby.
He will try to come and see you as soon as he comes to Canada.
My baby! Yeah. My little boy!
Mrs. Dempster, he's a very successful and handsome man of 40 now, and he's sending me money every month to move you to this pleasant hospital.
What?
He's sending me money every month.
He's keeping me here?
Yes. He wants you to be comfortable.
A little boy is keeping me here? That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. So that's it. So that's it. It's you.
Please.
It's you, isn't it? It's you that's keeping me
no,
here
Mrs.
so I can't see him?
Please,
you're
Mrs.
the snake
Dempster.
In the grass? You're one of
no,
them?
No, you mustn't.
Don't touch me! I'll scratch your eyes out!
Nurse!
You're keeping me from my baby!
Nurse!
You stole my baby! Give me back my baby!
An incredible woman, Danny. I know you'd like her. She has a really masculine mind.
In what way?
Well, she thinks like a politician. She has this idea that I'd make a really fine lieutenant governor.
But Ontario already has a lieutenant governor.
Well, that's what I mean, you see. That's why I say she has a masculine mind. She thinks ahead. You have to plan ahead, you know, for a position like that. And Denise says now's the time to start working on it.
What do you think of the idea?
You know, I think it might be just what I need. Well, I've always been a devotee of the crown, you know that. And it takes someone with that interest to fill a ceremonial post like that. And Denise has shown me that I might even be able to give it larger dimensions.
New dimensions?
Well, it's by no means a purely ceremonial post. It can be the crown's way of guarding against politicians who forget that they were elected to serve the people and not exploit them.
Well, she seems to have informed herself thoroughly on the subject. Did she mention that the lieutenant governor must have a wife?
Oh, I did that.
And what did she say?
She said, I can't help you there. You're on your own as far as that goes. You know, Dunny, she's been so busy fighting women's causes, divorce laws, equal rights, that sort of thing, that she's almost forgotten she's a woman herself. And a damned attractive one at that.
So you reminded her?
I certainly did. And you know, it wasn't easy. I told her how attracted I was to her. But she doesn't want to endanger my career.
How could she do that?
Well, you see, she's been married before. When she was just a kid of 20, it was a mistake, and she divorced him.
I see. It would make it difficult for a lieutenant governor to be married to a divorcee.
Oh, come, Dunny. Queen Victoria's dead. King George is dead. Divorce doesn't mean what it used to. Nowadays, people recognize the divorce is necessary, even humane in many cases.
Were you able to convince her?
No, not yet. You see, she's also got this foolish idea that people might think, well, that she married me for my money, position. Poor kid. She's afraid she wouldn't be up to being Mrs. Boy Staunton, let alone the lieutenant governor's lady.
As a wedding, it was neither a religious ceremony nor a merrymaking. It's best described as a function. Everybody of importance was there, and by clever work on Denise's part, quite a few cabinet ministers from Ottawa were present. And the prime minister sent a telegram. The bride wore a ring of unusual size. The best man was a bank president. The very best champagne flowed like the very best champagne. There was little jollity, but no bitterness except from David.
Do we kiss the bride, David?
Why not? She's been kissed oftener than a police court Bible and by much the same class of people.
Denise had the normal dislike of a woman for the friends her husband has made before he married her, but I felt she was more than usually severe in my case. She'd found out about my interest in saints. The whole notion of saints was repugnant to her. In her eyes, I was on the level with people who believed in teacup reading or social credit. So although I was asked to dinner now and then, when the other guests were people who had to be worked off for some tiresome reason, I was no longer an intimate of the household. Boy tried to smooth things over by occasionally asking me to lunch at his club.
Well, Dunny, I see your new book got mixed notices.
Yes. Not every critic cares for my approach to the psychology of myth and legend.
Oh, you'll never learn, will you, Dunny?
I'm not positive I know what you mean.
Well, isn't it time you gave up that nonsense? I mean, isn't it time a man of your intelligence stopped encouraging superstition?
Did you read the book?
No, I didn't.
And isn't it time you stopped criticizing what you know nothing about?
I'm sorry. I guess I can't stand stuff like that because I'm an atheist.
I'm not surprised. You created a god in your own image, and when you found out he was no good, you abolished him. It's a quite common form of psychological suicide.
Please, Dunny, don't nag me. I feel rotten. I've done just about everything I ever planned to, and everybody thinks I'm a success. And, of course, I have Denise now to keep me up to the mark. Which is lucky. I mean, damn lucky. Don't imagine I don't feel it. But sometimes I wish I could just get into a car and drive away from the whole damn thing.
A truly mythological wish. I'll save you the trouble of reading my book to find out what it means. You want to pass into oblivion with your armor on, like King Arthur. But modern medical science is too clever to allow it. You must grow old, boy. You'll have to find out what age means and how to be old. You must do that, or be wretched. Whom the gods hate, they keep forever young.
Well, that's the most lunatic, defeatist nonsense I've ever heard in my life. Would you have some brandy with your coffee?
Mr. Ramsay, I'm sorry to have to tell you that Mrs. Dempster has had a serious heart seizure, and the doctor is expecting another within a few hours. If you'd like to see her again, you should come at once.
Hello, Mrs. Dempster.
Oh. Are you Dunstable Ramsay?
Yes. Yes, I'm Dunny.
Oh. I thought he was a boy.
I sat by her bed for quite a long time, but she didn't speak again. Perhaps an hour later, the hand I held gave a little tug, the least possible squeeze. It was the last message I had from Mrs. Dempster. It was a very bad night for me. I kept up a kind of dismal stoicism until I went to bed, and then I wept. I hadn't done such a thing since my mother had beaten me so many years before. The next day, I went to the undertaker's.
Dempster. Yes. Just step into room C.
There she was, not looking very much like herself, for the embalmer had been generous with the rouge. Nor can I say that she looked younger or at peace, which are the two conventional comments. She just looked like a small, elderly woman, ready for burial. I knelt and prayed silently for the repose of the soul of Mary Dempster. Then I did an odd thing that I almost fear to record. Saints, according to tradition, give off a sweet odor when they are dead. In many instances, it has been likened to the scent of violets. So, I bent over the head of Mary Dempster and sniffed for this true odor of sanctity.
Ah, pleasant scent, isn't it? You smell it, too? Chanel number 5. We always use it when nothing is supplied by the relatives. And perhaps you have noticed that we have padded your mother's bosom just a little. She had lost something there during the last illness. And when the figure is reclining, it gives a rather wasted effect.
She was not my mother.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Your aunt?
No, neither mother nor aunt.